Blog Talk Radio.
If I'm out of trouble
smooth
now.
Jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, Mike, you there?
Hey, how are you? It's Mindy.
Hi, Miss. Hey, Mindy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you. Let me introduce you to my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Mindy, how's it going?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
And we also...
We're live now.
Yes. Okay. And we also have a fan co-host, the president of Mindy Hebert's Mindy World Fan Club, Miss Pam McGregor. Pam, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Pam.
Doing well.
Nice to hear you.
Good to hear from you. Hi, Mindy. Happy birthday.
Aw, thank you.
Let me welcome to the chat room One Love, Andrew Harris, Boney Fan Carol, CD McGee, Cool Jazz Combos, Guest 5709, and Lori G. Welcome all to the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. You can also join us in the chat room by going to TalkingSmoothJazz.com, clicking on the TSJ show page, and then the play chat button. Pam, that might work for you. If you want to do that, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and do that and see if you can come into the chat room that way.
Great.
All right. All right, Miss Mindy, welcome, welcome, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. We're so excited to talk to you this evening.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Now, this CD, In Hi-Fi Stereo, I love the CD, love the name, love the concept.
It has that
retro 60s, 70s retro feel to it.
Yeah, you know what? I've been so influenced and inspired by so many of the records from that era that had that stamp on them in hi-fi stereo. There was no better way to describe this record because it's a new record. It's my record. It's, you know, something that I would do now in 2010, but, you know, definitely we paid tribute to the people that came before, and I just kind of wanted to get in a room with a bunch of musicians and have some fun and put it out on a record. You know, that's what they used to do back in the day, and you know, today I think we have so much at our disposal with technology and effects and stuff like that. Sometimes we can get tripped up and just go crazy with production and have fun with it, and that's a different kind of record, but this one I definitely wanted to be a more organic experience.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm looking at the cover, the CD cover here of this record player. I'm dating myself here because I remember these record players.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we just sat around for hours and listened to records, and I thought it was a great time. It was a great time for music. And you know, I mean, now we have different ways to listen to music, but it sure is nice to go back to some vinyl and hear the crackles and pops. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Right, and play them until they turn white and all of that.
Wear them out, literally.
Oh, definitely.
Well,
I'm sorry?
Now, I was going to say, Mindy, you said that this CD is a reflection of some of the older, more funky stuff that you were listening to lately. Who are some of the artists that influenced you to kind of go retro with this CD?
You know, Ramsey Lewis was a great influence, just those old songs like The In Crowd and Sun Goddess. You know, they just had such a vibe to them. They didn't even sound like he was trying. It just sounded like he was just in a room playing, having a good time, you know. King Curtis, Junior Walker, you know, songs like Soul Serenade by King Curtis, you know, they were just so, you know, so, I don't know, how do you explain it? It's just a feeling. It's not that he played a million notes. It's not that he was this flashy, you know, high, strong player. He just had a vibe. You know, the same with Junior Walker. I mean, it was pretty much pop music of the era. You know, it was like R&B instrumental with a few vocals. It just made you want to dance, right? I mean, every Junior Walker song, you just want to get up out of your seat and have fun. So, you know. That
cut a rug, as they used to say.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut a rug, as they used to say, definitely.
Cut a rug.
I'm really dating myself now.
I think you can relate to that record. I like that.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Now, listen, Mike and I, and when we were reading about you, we were very impressed about how you struggled and the challenges you faced once you moved to L.A. to get your music heard. So please share that story.
Yeah, I know. It was funny for a while. Bobby Lyle used to like to tell the story of kind of finding me on the street when I was playing in his band, and I just said, no, you can't do that. That's awful. You know, and finally I gave in because he used to say, you know, Mindy, it's a badge of honor that you got out there and kind of did what you did and got noticed and didn't take the easy road. So I finally let him tell the story. But basically, when I came to L.A., you know, I pretty much thought, hey, I'll come here and get a record deal. I'll go on the road with my band. And you know, I quickly found out that's not the way it happens. You don't get handed a record deal at the door, and it's just not that easy. You know, L.A. is a big town with a big music business. And everyone has their people that they hire. Everyone, you know, has their roster of artists on their record label. And I definitely got no's from every record label at least 10 times. You know, I just keep trying and keep trying. But, you know, when I moved here, I got a job as a waitress, first of all, to pay the rent because, you know, I didn't have any money to my name. Kind of packed up everything in a car and drove here from Boston when I graduated from college. And, you know, finally I figured out after a couple months, I was just like, this is not what I do well. This is not my dream. This is not why I went to college. And, you know, no one was hiring me. It was just really tough. I'd go to sit in at clubs and, you know, I'm sure I didn't look the part, but no one seemed to want to let me sit in. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to quit all this, quit the day job. I'm going to go out and play, whether they pay me or not. So I went out on the street to Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica and played out there for quite a few months, paid the rent. It was great. It was really an amazing way to make a living. I mean, you got people right on you, you know, a couple feet from you and watching you. It was a really amazing learning experience for me. And it turned into some really great things. I mean, Bobby Lyle walked by, and Bobby's just one of my favorite keyboard players of all time. I mean, he's incredible. And I looked at him and knew exactly who he was. I'm standing out on the street corner playing, thinking, oh, my God. Oh, I can't believe Bobby Lyle is here watching me play. Oh, you know. And he stood around for a while and just asked me, you know, at the end of the song, he goes, you know, I would love to play with you. I should hire you. And I just said, yeah, you should. Come on. Take me on the road. So he sure did. And it was an amazing experience for me. I mean, all the guys in his band were A-list players, and they really taught me the ropes and taught me how I should act as a professional player. And from there, you know, things really snowballed, and a lot of people started hiring me for their bands, from, you know, Jonathan Butler to Rick Braun, and then on to Backstreet Boys and Mandy Moore and Adam Sandler and, you know, Tina Marie, a lot of people. So he was a great start for me.
Well, and you know, Mindy, me and Terry, we had this discussion earlier, and we were saying how a lot of independent artists nowadays don't want to take that path and go out and perform, you know, gigs for free just to get the exposure and get the people to see them. But yet, you know, you having a degree from Berkeley, you know, you took that route and it ultimately paid off for you. With a lot of guys nowadays, they don't want to do that, you know.
Yeah,
and that was very, very impressive.
I think, you know, those guys who tell you when you're coming up the ranks, like, you got to pay your dues. I never really thought that applied to me. I figured, you know, hey, I'm going to get a degree from a great university. I'm going to go out. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go for it, and it'll, the world is my oyster. And you know what? You got to pay your dues. And in one way or another, we all do. You know, very few people get handed success early on or attain it easily. And for me, you know, I definitely went out there and worked for it. And I know a lot of other people who worked hard too. So I, you know, me and my friends, we definitely went for it and earned it. So I definitely keep working hard every day, you know. That hasn't stopped, but definitely the places we're playing are a lot cooler than going down to Third Street Promenade and playing on the street.
And speaking of your friends, you even asked Tommy Koster to move from Boston to L.A. to help you, you know, with playing. And you guys, I said that you guys did the coffee shop circuit and played basically anywhere that they would feed us dinner. After that, he helped me get guys to play with us. And between us, we formed my first band outside of college. So that's a real friend to move from Boston to L.A., you know, to help you get started.
That's such a good friend. I mean, when I was in school, my sax teacher at Berkeley, Joe Viola, just every day I was in his class, he would say, start your own band, start your own band, you know, and he would just, you know, harp on me about it, because he's like, you know, there's already a David Sanborn, there's already, you know, a Wayne Shorter, you know, you can't be them, so you might as well be yourself, and you write your own music, do your own thing. So my band in college, Tommy Koster was my keyboard player, and when I moved to L.A., I quickly realized, oh my gosh, I don't know anybody, you know, and I don't have anybody here to team up with, you know, and have a partner in crime. And I called Tommy Koster, and I was just like, come on, move to L.A. What are you going to do? You're going to stay in Boston? You know, I'll get you gigs out here, I promise. And he moved. He actually moved, and, you know, we had pretty small gigs for a while. We'd play in coffee shops, and we play in restaurants, and we weren't making anything. We were, you know, carrying in a bunch of equipment and playing and having long nights. But you know what? We had really a lot of fun, and we really found ourselves musically, and we both would bring players to the band and kind of, you know, make it happen. We'd play some of his tunes as well as mine. And he was just a real help with me starting out as a solo artist. Now, he's written a bunch of hits, including Eminem's The Real Slim Shady. I mean, he's had huge, huge, huge number one hits in rap and pop, and, you know, he's done so well. So it's fun to, you know, live lives together of the people that you make music with so much.
Oh, yes, definitely. Pam, do you have a question?
We had Pam, my fan club pres, on, didn't we?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I hear her laugh. Now I know she's here.
Pam, do you have a question?
I sure do. Should I wait till she's
in? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's got the radio thing.
I wanted.
Pam, turn your radio down.
I wanted to make a comment about what Mindy said.
Okay, we're losing you, Pam.
Are you listening to your computer,
like
Pam, while you're talking?
That is funny.
You're okay, Pam. We're losing you. You're going in and out.
I see that.
Okay. Let me take a question from the chat room. I have a couple of questions here from the chat room. The first one is from Anita Ross. She wants to know, Mindy, why do you consider your music stadium jazz and not smooth jazz?
Oh, one song I labeled stadium jazz. And we wrote Bloom on my Life Less Ordinary CD. And the best description I had for Bloom was stadium jazz. So I wouldn't label my style as stadium jazz, but she's obviously been to one of my concerts, and I definitely introduced Bloom as something I called stadium jazz, because I thought that particular song we wrote as an ode to those live performances and that energy that you get from live performance. And I just thought it was the kind of song that you'd hold your lighter up above your head and wave it around, you know. So you write different songs with different things in mind. That was definitely my attempt at the only thing I could call, you know, in my head, the only name I could come up with was stadium jazz. So only that song. That's never a tag that I've used for my style as a whole at all.
Okay, and another question, Lori G., she wants to know, what do you think about the influx of women sax players, and why do you think people think you're in competition?
You know what, I am all for more women instrumentalists, and I just hope that there are as many of us as there are of guys as instrumentalists soon, so that no one asks those questions. I hope that one day it's just a no-brainer that there's as many women as men out there, and it's just really cool, and no one even thinks twice about it. But at this point, actually, I was sitting at a table this past weekend. We were playing in Connecticut, and someone came up, and they said, was there anyone who made solo records that, you know, who was successful as a solo artist on a major label as a woman saxophonist before Candy Dulfer or before you? And I sat there and I racked my brain, and the only person I could come up with was Vi Red in the 60s, 50s maybe, who had a solo career. And I was really taken back by that because, you know, when I was young coming up the ranks, I didn't even think about the fact that there weren't women out there. I just figured, hey, I'm playing, that's cool, and I like David Sanborn, and I like Cannonball Adderley, and, you know, whoever. But I really didn't have women to look up to. So now I look at women coming up the ranks, and I'm absolutely all for it. I want women to go out there and be, you know, strong women role models and go out there and change the way that people look at women instrumentalists. And I think it is a quest. You know, it's something that we do have to prove every day because people don't expect us to be the musicians that men are yet. And I really do hope that changes. I mean, I've found in my own career that once you walk out on stage and you play and you prove yourself, then it doesn't matter what you are, women, you know, woman, man, black, white, Asian, anything. It is a level playing field. But you do have to get past those stereotypes and get the chance to be heard. So I do a lot with education, Campbell's Labels for Education, and also the Grammy Foundation. And I really want more women to come up the ranks. And you got to start that with little girls who believe in themselves and who can see someone playing a musical instrument and, you know, that they can relate to and say, okay, I can be the next generation. And to get the second part of that question, the competition part, I think it's a shame that, that people expect women to be in catfights all the time, because it's just, it's not the case. You know, Candy and I have played for years on and off on the same stage, and, you know, I think that it's, you know, it's something that we look at each other with a lot of respect. I just went to Japan last year with Sheila E. and an all-girl band, co-ed, and each one of these girls is just phenomenal. You know, Rhonda, who plays bass for Prince, and Cassandra O'Neill, who was just on my record along with Layla Hathaway for It's a Man's, Man's, Man's World. We turned it upside down for It's a Woman's, Woman's, Woman's World. So, you know, I really respect women as instrumentalists, and I and we have a lot of respect for each other. So the competition thing, I haven't seen a lot of it from my point of view, and I hope that other women don't feel that. I don't think they do. So.
Well, I hope not either. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope not either. Well, now I want to get into some music, but first I just want to say that, well, tell us about the artists on this CD. You have Brandi Jacobs, Layla Hathaway, even your father is on here.
He is, yeah, absolutely. My dad has played sax on my records before. I grew up with my dad's band on the road when I was a kid, and he's a sax player and keyboard player. He played in a band called The Entertainers. It's kind of a blue-eyed soul band, and he's just, he's got so much feel and so much heart and soul in his playing. He's just amazing. So a couple years ago, he had an autoimmune disease or dysfunction. Basically, it took his left hand out of use for playing saxophone. He can still use it. He just doesn't have the strength that he used to play. So on this record, I just thought, hey, you still got your right hand, and it's rocking. So play some B3 organ for us, which B3 is a lot of right hand, and the left hand only plays rhythm. So, yeah, we put him to work, totally put him to work, okay. And he sounds great.
Okay, well, we'll start with that song. And let me just say that there are a couple of phone calls on the switchboard. And you're probably just listening, but if you have a question, just hit the number one button, and I will bring you on right after this song. This song is called The Alley from Mindy Abares in Hi-Fi Stereo.
Thank you.
right. That was The Alley from Mindy Hebert in Hi-Fi Stereo. Very nice, Miss Hebert.
Very
nice.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Now, I have a phone call, area code 610. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello, is this Lori? No.
Hi, Lori.
No, this is Donna.
Oh.
I said, is this Lori?
Oh, no, this is Terry.
Terry, okay, okay.
Yes.
I told Lori have it on Facebook.
Oh, okay, okay. Did you have a question for Mindy?
No, just wanted to say hi to our Mindy girl.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
And birthday girl.
Yeah, it was my birthday yesterday. Thank you.
Did you hit a few high notes on your birthday?
A few high notes. You know, actually, I ate a lot of pizza and drank some wine and
ate some chocolates.
I did eat some chocolate. Yes, I did.
I knew
actually.
It.
Yeah,
you know
knew that
it
was
is.
A part of it, huh? You know me well.
Yes.
So, yeah, we kind of had a kickback little birthday celebration here over at the house and just kind of made it
with
a...
With your schedule, you need to kick back.
Yeah, we've been a little busy. You know, you put out a new record and everything. It's kind of wham, bam, you're in different cities and everything. So, yeah, it was nice to kind of fly in and just sit back and drink some wine and enjoy. Get a year older, you know?
I know, a year older. That's okay. You don't look it.
No, she does not. She looks good. She looks good.
Thanks. Do what you can.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Sure, sure.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good to hear birthday wishes. That's so nice.
I know. Yeah, your page was full of them, your Facebook page.
I know. It was crazy. I didn't know that many people knew. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
People know all on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, Mindy, like, we received the CD a while back, and I love the CD, and your It's a Man's World with Layla Hathaway. And I got to tell you, I love Layla Hathaway. She is just it for me. And that version of It's a Man's World, how did you guys come up with that, and was Layla your first choice in using as a vocalist on that track?
Layla and I went to college together. And we were in the same class, and, we, you know, even then I would stand on stage with her and just marvel. I mean, she's just special. You know, other vocalists would be up there blowing all these riffs and getting crazy, and she'd just stand up there and sing one note and make you cry. And she's always been like that, and I'm just such a fan, you know. It's just crazy to watch her. So I called her... for this CD, and I just said, I want you to sing something, and I don't know what, and I even saw her for a concert. She came in and sang with me for a concert late last year, and I just said, I don't know what I want you to sing, but you got to be on this CD. Your spirit needs to be on this, you know? So she goes, yeah, think about it. She goes, I'll think about it too, see if we can't come up with something cool. So I called her in a few weeks and just said, all right, I've got a great idea. I think it's a great idea. We'll see what you think. And I just said, you know, it's a man's world. But let's not do it like James Brown. Let's do it bluesy and just, you know, a woman's touch to it and make it, you know, kind of a woman power thing. And and she goes, I really like that idea. I'm all for it. She goes, I think that's a cool idea. She goes, but, you know, I don't want to just sing the song and then you take the sax solo. That's, you know, that's boring. Let's come up with something that is, you know, a real arrangement. Let's do it as a duet, you know. So we sat in the studio. It was actually a couple days before the Grammys, which she was nominated for a Grammy last year. So I think she was extra inspired that week.
Wow.
And she just came in the studio and we, you know, hashed out, okay, let's do this, let's do that. You know, we'll really make it a duet that you sing a verse, I play a verse, and we just really riff off each other and work off each other. And it was a beautiful experience. And I think the world of her. I think she's an angel, both as a person and a musician. So I love that song, and that's just become one of my favorite songs on the CD.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to play that song, but I want to get back to Pam, see if she's still with
yeah,
us. Pam, you still with us?
I'm still with you. I'm not missing you, any of this. Mindy, one of the things I think everyone loves to hear is what inspires your songs and how autobiographical they are, like every time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think when you, you know, when you write songs, you got to write about things you know about. You know, or you have to write from a place that you feel. And every time was a song off my Come As You Are CD, and it was a cool story. We do it live a lot. I haven't done it in the past few months, but it's a song that I wrote kind of while I was falling in love, which is like the best place in the world to write a song from. But you know, a lot of songs when you write when you're falling in love, you write that song probably 6 months later that is the song that, you know, you're crazy, get out of my life, what the hell was I thinking? and I never wrote that song after I wrote this song, so there was something very special about this song, although I didn't know it at the time. But it came about that once I wrote Every Time, you know, a few months later, I was falling in love and actually got married to my now husband. So the song at the time was when we were first dating, and I was kind of feeling like, ooh, this could be something, you know? Who knows? And I looked back at the lyrics of the song and went, ooh, I guess I kind of knew early on, or, you know, kind of had an inkling there. So, yeah, sometimes songs can be very telltale about what you're going through in your life. So that's always a special one for me. I always dedicate it to my husband, Jason, and I always think that it's kind of fun to tell a little bit of that story because it makes it a really special song.
Oh, that's a nice story. That's a nice story. Okay, Pam.
Yeah, you're not.
Pam.
Not coming through.
Yeah, something's wrong with your side of it. You keep breaking up.
I can't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Let me try calling another number then. Find the number.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know why she's breaking up like that. Sorry about that, Pam. I have a question for you, Mindy, from the chat room.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Muse U? She works with Foreplay. And she wants to know if she can get you to jam with them.
Well, absolutely, but Foreplay has a no saxophone policy. I was just joking with my friend Nathan East about the no saxophone policy. So, you know, they don't have sax in any of their songs. They're such capable instrumentalists in and of themselves. I do think it is refreshing. There are too many of us sax players. But I think the world of those guys, and I'm a huge fan. I actually played with Harvey Mason in Jakarta a couple months ago for the Jakarta Jazz Festival, and he's phenomenal. So, yeah, if she wants to set up a jam, I'm all for it. But there is a no sax policy in Foreplay that I'm very, very down with. I'm fine. I think that it's a cool policy. There's enough of us around. They got their own thing.
Okay. I have another question for you from the chat room. Is there a musician that you would love to record with? And that comes from Cynthia G.
There are tons of musicians I'd love to record with. Absolutely. Herbie Hancock's one. I love what he does. I love the fact that he's done everything from straight ahead records to just kind of jam, you know, soulful records to stuff like Rocket. I mean, he's really just done what he's felt and made the records that he's felt like making and been really creative about it for many years. You know, not taking cues from what the "you should be doing this" file, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just such a phenomenal player and at this point icon. I would love to do something with him. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, I'd love to go on the road with the Rolling Stones and just be their sax player and rock out with them for a while. That seems really fun to me.
That would be cool.
You know, I kind of go all over the spectrum when it comes to who I'd like to work with.
Oh, that would be cool. Okay, so now Pam has called in on a landline. So, Pam, we can hear you much better now.
Wonderful. That's great.
Okay.
That's
we can
great.
Yeah, that's
now.
Much better.
That's nice.
Yeah. Technology when it works, right?
That's
I'll
much better.
Good.
Okay,
like
so now,
person,
that,
huh?
Now that you're on, give us a little information about Mindy World, the fan club.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Well, Mindy and I sat down, I guess, about 3.5 years ago, right before the Dave Cog cruise, and we thought it was time that, you know, the world know about her. So we started Mindy World, and we've been growing ever since, and people get some really special perks by being part of it. I think probably the most important one is that Mindy will see anyone before a performance that's a member of Mindy World. They're allowed backstage, and she takes pictures with them, and she will sign all the autographs, and everyone is just thrilled. They just can't believe how nice she is and how she takes the time. And I'm always amazed because she's back on stage, how she finds the time and the energy to do this. But we've had as many as 30 people backstage, and she's taken the time to take a picture with everyone, and she's absolutely amazing. But I have
okay.
so much fun doing this because I meet so many wonderful people, because people who love Mindy are just great people.
You're so nice.
That's so true.
Okay.
You know what? Pam asked me
right.
for a while if she could head up my fan club. And, you know, I was always like, well, I don't know if I should have a fan club. I don't know about that. And she finally just talked me into it. And I got to say, there's no one in the world who's a better fan club president than Pam. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. She has headed up this fan club, and she just takes phone calls from everybody and gets them to the concerts and gets them backstage and just has so much fun with it. And I got to say, it's been a very cool thing to kind of have a legion of people who, you know, want to keep up on the latest. And we put a website together where it's all, you know, content that no one else gets before they do, for sure. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, exclusive stuff. So Pam has done such a great job of heading this up.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I have
welcome.
So much
thank
fun
you.
Doing it.
And this and the website is MindyWorld.com?
MindyWorld.org.
.org. Okay, MindyWorld.org. And I have a question from the chat room, and then I'm going to go to another song. Andrew Harris would like to know, given the influence of the old school sax players on this current project and on your development as a player in general, if you could go back in time and play with one of the greats, who would that be and why?
I'd probably play with Cannonball Adderley. I love his style. I think he's a great mix of groove for me and sound and inspiration. I got to play with his brother, Matt Adderley, at one point in college, and I was just beside myself. It was just one of the best points in my life up to that point. I was just, wow, you know. But I love Cannonball, his brother, as well, and it would just be really cool to ask him a few questions and get to play with him, because he's definitely one of my idols. They came from about an hour outside of St. Petersburg, Florida, where I'm from, in a place called Lakeland, Florida. And,
okay.
Yeah, I just always related to his playing. He wasn't a bebop player, but he wasn't a straight soul player either. He just had a huge sound and just this groove about him. And he was kind of the best of all worlds to me.
All right. All right. Now, let's listen to some more music. I'm going to play track number 3, Mindy, but you're going to have to pronounce it for me.
L'Esprit Nouveau.
Okay.
Is that the track you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the story behind this one?
The name, actually, I took off a T-shirt. And one of my, I know it sounds trivial, doesn't it? But one of my girlfriends has her own T-shirt company named Punk Masters. and she makes these great T-shirts that are just, you know, really cool, just kind of iconic symbolism and stuff. And she put this T-shirt together that said L'Esprit Nouveau, and it had a kind of Middle Ages woman on it, you know, with this long cloak on and everything, and kind of this new bird in her hand. And it was kind of like mixing old with new. And she did this T-shirt, and it was very iconic and interesting to me that she mixed this incredibly old and new and made this cool T-shirt out of it. And this song that I wrote with Ty Stevens, who's written on a lot of my songs before, say The Last Dance and High Five and a lot of different songs with me, we got together to write, and we just ended up writing this song that's really old school. It's like almost like you're sitting in a really old club, you know, with the ragtime piano, with, you know, a beer in your hand, and just kind of, you know, hot and sweaty and, you know, checking out the scene. You know, the upright bass, you could just see the guy kind of humped over his bass, just sliding around. And when we recorded it, I remember telling Reggie McBride, who was playing bass, I was like, you know, don't play it too perfectly. Don't get crazy with this. Just have fun, you know, slide around some. Pretend you're drunk. Do you need a drink? I was like, I'll get you a drink. I was like, and we're in a club. We've done many a club date together. And so he goes, I gotcha. So,
sort of like a speakeasy feel, huh?
Yeah, you know, just very old school. Just have fun, you know. And I love the way this song came out. It came out as a really cool vibe. So I thought L'Esprit Nouveau was the perfect name, kind of new mixed with old.
All right, then this is L'Esprit Nouveau.
Thank you.
Wow.
Great. I love that. Love that.
That is hot. That is hot.
I'm glad you like it.
Wow.
Yeah, you need an adult beverage in your hand for that song, I think.
Well, look, let me tell you some of the comments in the chat room with that. Andrew said he was picking up brown liquor. So he says loving it, reaching for a little brown liquor. And
yeah.
Kim's, I really like hers. Let me find Kim. She said something about red shoes, red lipstick, reaching for a boa.
That's good. That'll work too.
Yeah, she says champagne glass bowl, something black, heels, lace, and red lips.
Yeah, we figured that particular song, you wouldn't be ordering a martini in the bar. It would be the kind of bar that you'd order liquor or a beer, that it wasn't that high class of a bar. But, yeah, they might be selling ladies upstairs. It was possible.
No one we know.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Minnie, I wanted to ask you about Rex Ratto. Rex is on, I think, every track, just about playing keyboards on every track. How was it working with him?
Rex Ratto is amazing, and he's not only just an amazing musician, but an amazing producer as well. That particular track, L'Esprit Nouveau, he came out, I mean, he sat there and played all that ragtime piano and played it just so perfectly. It was amazing. I just looked at him and said, how would you ever know how to play ragtime piano? I mean, I just wouldn't even think that he would know that. And he's like, well, actually, my grandfather had a band, and I can't remember the name of the band right now, but it was great. It was total, like, 20s ragtime band name. And his grandfather was a ragtime piano player, and so he just pulled that out, you know? But on a larger level, I've done a couple records with him, just one-off songs, and he's a great producer. He thinks like a musician, and he doesn't try to color what you're doing with who he is. He really tries to, you know, take who you are and your vision of the record and make it what it is, which is what he helped me do. I came to him and just said, you know, I want to make a record that we're all in the room at the same time. We're making music. I don't want it to be complicated. I don't want it to be affected. I want it to be basically what I'm handing you as the songs and it just to have a vibe, you know. I want people to feel like they're in the room with us just partying and having a good time and kicking back. And he's like, I can get behind that. And absolutely, he was just the right man for the job, from playing keyboards on it to, you know, overseeing it, and we co-produced it together, which was just phenomenal to work with him. I would work with him 100 times in the future. He's great.
Wow.
I have a comment for you from the chat room. Martin Bloxon says he is from your old Berkeley days, and that he wrote Stay Home Tonight on Layla's first CD. Not sure if you remember me, but just wanted to wish you continued success. Keep up the good work.
Wow, what a great blast from the past. Yeah, of course. That's so cool. And Layla's first CD was so cool. I mean, she got signed right out of school. Wow. Tell him he's got to hook up with me on Facebook or something so I know how to get in touch with him. That's great.
There you go, Martin.
Yeah, Martin.
Check her out on Facebook.
Find
me,
man.
Check her.
Well,
that's great. What a nice blast from the past.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mindy, when you were younger, you started out on the piano before you moved to saxophone, I guess about, 10 years old. Do you still play piano, anything?
I do, actually. I started on piano when I was 5, and I don't play it well. I wish I played it better. I took lessons for probably, probably 8 years, 7 or 8 years. And I always have fun at the piano. I've played it for a lot of tours on and off. I played it on Jonathan Butler's tour for years, and Backstreet Boys. I played percussion and keyboards and saxophone for them. And I write a lot on keyboards. When I hear a song in my head or, you know, sing a song in my head, whatever, I'll come home and get on my piano and, you know, put the chord changes down from there. So it's a great tool for me for writing. You know, I'm not going to usually come out in a concert and play piano on anything. You know, I can. I'm much better at playing the songs that I wrote than anything else. My husband makes fun of me because I like to play Christmas carols, and I play them really poorly on piano. But I'll get that behind that piano and just start going for it. He's like, can't you do any song for Christmas without stopping in the middle? I'm like, hey, I got to find the bridge, you know, leave me alone. But yeah, I love to use it as a writing tool, and I'm good at it for that.
Okay, cool. Now, I have a question. I'm going to go back some. Now, you, like I said, you toured with the Backstreet Boys, and in your bio it says that during their breaks when they would go back and change, you would have a sax solo to yourself. What was that experience like, doing that, you know, brand new and you getting the free time to yourself?
You know what? I loved the experience of playing with the Backstreet Boys, and, you know, a lot of people look at that and go, oh, you know, it's not a jazz group, or, you know, it was a boy band, for goodness sakes. But for me, it was an incredible chance to get out there and kind of experiment with who I was, both as a player and as a person. And, you know, I was on the road with them for a year, year and a half, and it was at the height of their popularity. So, I mean, we were playing to 50, 60,000 people a night, and it was just pandemonium. I mean, we'd drive into a town or fly into a town, and there would be literally thousands of girls running down the street after our bus. And there would be thousands of girls waiting for us coming out of the airplane. And it was just, it was pandemonium for that time in my life. And I learned a lot about, you know, kind of life and fame and you know, how they handled it all. And those guys worked really, really hard. And they were great guys. And for me as a musician, yeah, every time they changed clothes and changed sets, which was often, you know, I got to take a solo on sax, and I'd just run around the stage, and, you know, I'd have pink hair or blue hair or whatever it was at that week, and, you know, I got to just go out there and play and rock out with the audience as a sax player and be myself, and I learned a lot from that, you know, working over pop music and getting out there and in front of a bunch of you're just screaming fans. I think that was the first time I ever realized that, you know, girls needed a role model. I started getting these thousands of emails from girls and their mothers just saying, we've never seen a girl playing instruments before. And, you know, my daughter is practicing sax now because she thinks she can be a sax player because she just saw you do it. And, you know, girls would just say, I'm practicing piano now because I just saw you up there playing piano and sax. And I don't know, I never really thought I could make a living doing it, but I just saw you, and so you've inspired me. And I really realized for the first time, like, oh, my gosh, you know, someone's looking up to me.
I better
I better take heed of this and be a good person and practice more and, you know.
A lot of responsibility there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, speaking of girls, I would like to play Girls Night Out.
Sure.
Now, okay, tell me about this one.
This one I wrote with my friend Matthew Hager, who has produced my last four CDs. We were best friends in college at Berklee College of Music, and we've just made so much music together over the years, written so many songs, and he's a great guy and a great great musician. So he came up with the bass guitar kind of part, and it was more of a pop kind of rock thing. And so I said, well, we should grease it up a little bit. We should, you know, make it a little funkier, make it a little looser, you know, and, you know, kind of add a soul vibe to this. So I wanted to take it in more of a kind of funky shining star way. And so between us, we came up with what we've got here, but I added a bunch of horn parts and put a melody over it and, you know, took it a few different places. And, you know, we had a lot of fun writing this song together. So I told him, you know, you may not like this song title, but I think it's a perfect song for, you know, Girls Night Out, where all the girls get on the dance floor and boogie on down together, because that's what happens. You know, you can't get the guys out on the dance floor all the time. So he actually said, no, I really like that title. I think that fits. So that's how this song came about.
Okay, so we have James Gatson on drums, Reggie McBride on bass, and Randy Jacobs on electric guitar, and Rex Rideout on keyboards. This is Girls Night Out. Go, Girls Night Out.
All right. I like that. That was very nice, yes.
Kind of a fun one.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We are talking to Miss Mindy Hebert. Her brand new CD is called In Hi-Fi Stereo. You can pick that up on her website, mindyhebert.com. And also on, it's on Amazon.com, I do believe, yes.
iTunes, Amazon.com, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Get it anywhere you buy records, which, well, you know, it's less places now, but
less places now, definitely, for sure. Pam, do you have one more question?
I think I heard her talking during the song and laughing. It was funny.
How long did it take you to, from the beginning of thinking of this album to finish it?
Oh, wow. You know, I always start kind of writing for a new CD a couple months after the previous CD comes out. So after Stars came out, you know, probably 3 months or so, and I started writing with friends and just kind of getting together for lunch here and there and writing a song. You know, so it took me a while to get the songs together. But then once we decided to record and kind of picked the players and all of that, we got in the studio, and the record was made within 2 weeks. So, you know, we really did most of the recording in a couple days, and then I put down saxophone for a couple days, and we mixed it, and it was done. So, you know, the majority of the time was really the writing and just the attention to detail with just getting the songs there. And then once we got in the studio, it was pretty, you know, in and out.
Pretty fast.
That's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you about your label, 23rd Music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that your label that you just started up, or are you partnering with somebody on that? Or
That's a label that I've had for my past few records. It's a boutique record that it's a boutique label that I started under Peak Records, which really doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, it's like I wanted something that was my own, and you never know in the future if I want to sign someone or whatever to my own little label and, you know, keep my own brand of people and everything around. I thought it was a kind of a cool thing to do and have my own brand of record label. So after Peak went away, then I signed to Concord, and so now I'm with Concord.
Okay, so it was part of Peak, got it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, too, that I miss your show, Chill with Mindy Abair, because we lost our jazz station in December.
Yeah.
I'm in Las Vegas, and we lost ours in December, so with that went your Chill with Mindy Abair show. So now, is that still going on?
It is. I am still doing Chill with Mindy Abair, and we do about 5 hours a week, and you can stream it from different places. You can stream it from KIFM in San Diego, 98.1, and you can stream it from KWJZ up in Seattle. There's a bunch of stations that still have it, but, yeah, it's such a drag that so many stations have gone under that, you know, a lot of people have lost my radio show, Chill, along with it, which sucks. It's a really fun show to do, and, yeah, we are still doing it, so find some place that's doing it and stream it and listen along because we're having fun with the music still. I love getting new music out there.
Yeah. And before I let you go, Mindy, because we have kept you over time, but I have to ask you about this movie coming up next year with Adam Sandler.
Yeah. you know what? Anytime you get a call from Adam Sandler's producer and they ask you if you can record a song and if you want to be in a movie, you say yes. and I love doing stuff with Adam. One of my first tours was with Adam Sandler, and he was doing an all-music tour. And it was a great experience. I had just come out of you know, a really premier jazz school. And in any music school, they teach you to think, probably too much. But, you know, you're sitting there thinking about the chord changes and thinking about what you should substitute over those chord changes to be hip and cool, and you're thinking like a jazz player or a school jazz player playing with Adam Sandler. You know what? All he wanted to do was go out there and have a good time and have some fun and play some music. And I think that was a great lesson for me to learn early on. It's like, wait a minute, stop thinking. Just start playing. Go out there and have some fun. It's not all about thinking about the hippest thing to play. It's just about going out there and playing. So I've done a lot with him over the years since then, and it's always fun when I get a call from him. So we went in and recorded the track, and I played everything from Barry sax to tenor sax to alto sax. I just stacked up a bunch of horn parts and stuff, and then I went in for the next week and we shot the scene, and it's a funny scene. I'm not funny, but some funny stuff happens. I'm just back there playing my sax, but I'm in the wedding band for a scene in the movie, and I've heard it's supposed to come out early next year. It's called Just Go With It, and it's got Jennifer Aniston, who was beautiful in this scene. She was just stunning, and Adam Sandler and Kevin Nealon and Nicole Kidman, and just, I mean, all-star cast. It was just crazy. Meanwhile, we're just being stupid musicians up on stage, and every time they have to change scenes or change lights, we're up there jamming to Bob Marley or AC/DC or the Rolling Stones or Neil Young or something. So we had a blast on set. You know, I think maybe we kept everyone up and rolling that day because we were having so much fun playing between scenes. Kept us rolling, at least.
Well, we look forward to seeing that movie. I have a phone call, area code 858. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
It is my pleasure to be here. Smooth Jazz, you done did it again. How you doing, Mindy Hebert? How are you, sweetie?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing freaking fantastical now. I hear that you was about to leave, so I had to put my hand up before you go.
Nice, thank you.
By the way, you got one love here, Smooth Jazz, again.
Okay. Well, welcome, one love.
Thank you. Mindy, wow, it is a pleasure. I am thankful for your talents all the way around. The music you bring is just impeccable.
Oh, thank
I
want
to thank you for that. To let you know a couple of things real quickly, we are still holding on to your chilling with Mindy Hebert down here in San Diego.
Absolutely.
So I'll catch you on that from time to time. Your show that you did with Sheila and Candy, the live performance, will that be on DVD sometime soon in this lifetime?
I did a show with Sheila E. and Cassandra O'Neill and Kat Dyson and Rhonda Smith at the Blue Note in Tokyo and Nagoya. And I know they did film it. And actually on my YouTube page, which is if you go to YouTube and go to the page Official Mindy Hebert, there's a video of kind of the teaser of us playing that Blue Note did. But I don't think they're going to release it as a concert DVD, which is too bad because it was a great concert and it's a great show. So hopefully we're going to do that more often. And who knows, maybe one day we will get a live DVD made. It's a great, great, great band.
I can only imagine. One last thing. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but as a poet, you know, music, jazz music, influence me sometimes, and I write to it. So is there someone, can you point me in the right direction in case you inspire a poem? Who shall I go to get permission? Or is that even at all possible? Because I don't want to, you know, step on nobody's toes. This is Mindy's Hebert's music, but my words. Is there someone I can speak to about that?
You know what? Anytime, by law, a song has been performed and written and put out there in the world, you are allowed to do anything you want to it, basically, and write to it. And you usually have to get someone's permission to publish it or put it out there on a record or something. But, I did a James Brown song for this past record, and I didn't have to get his permission to do it. You just have to give him, credit when you put the record out there. So, basically that's the copyright rule. So you don't even have to get my permission, but I'm really glad you asked, and I would be honored, to hear anything you did, and be honored if you would write lyrics to some stuff, from some poetry to my music. I think that's really cool.
Yes.
Cool.
I can, send you a copy. Mindy's World, right? .com.
MindyWorld.org.
Oh, Blue. See, I don't want to mess it up. Once it's done, I just wanted to let you know, how can I inform you that, hey, it's done, here's a listen, and thank you very much for the inspiration.
Facebook's probably the easiest way, because that's, you know, it's so immediate. But there's also a contact on my website, MindyAbear.com, that's management, that they'll get anything to me. You know, they're awesome.
All
about
right,
that. Yeah.
You know what? All right,
well, one last.
That's all I have, yes.
Okay. Well, bless thank you
heart.
Very much for calling in.
Thank you.
It was my
yeah.
pleasure. Thanks for having me. Y'all
yeah.
stay blessed, all right?
You too, brother.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
All right. Miss Abear,
so
we have kept you long.
I just wanted to ask Mindy one more thing before she does go. Now, you are a spokesperson for Privacy Jeans, and they give 10% of proceeds for breast cancer. And I know that your first single is going to be on the United We Care CD and everything.
Yes. My single that's out right now, Be Beautiful, was originally recorded for Privacy United We Cure. And that is a CD that Privacy came out with. Privacy is a jeans company that I've worn their jeans for a long time now, and I got to say, the jeans are really, really ultra cute. But in another sense, this is a woman-owned company, and it's a company that really gives back to women, and they give a portion of their proceeds to fight breast cancer. I mean, they'll go into cities and give mammograms to women who can't afford them. And, you know, that's saved a lot of lives. And as women, you know I answered a question earlier about women instrumentalists and you know, do I support that? Absolutely. I think women should stand together as much as humanly possible and be there for each other. So I've always been a huge supporter of Privacy and what they're doing. And they were nice enough to let me use the master of the song for my new CD. And so I made it my first single, and I just think Be Beautiful is just this really vibey song that is a great anthem for women. You know, believe, belong, be beautiful, be free, be strong, be beautiful. And those are words that maybe we forget to tell each other all the time, but something that we should definitely be living.
Cool.
Yeah, they're great.
Thank you. So true. Okay. Yep. All right. So, Mike, do you have any more questions?
Just one real fast. Mindy, I know that you, like I said earlier, you work with the kids in schools and everything with the music programs. How do you feel about music programs being cut from a lot of the schools around the country? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's a travesty. I feel the same way that everyone does. It's awful to get music education taken away from kids because music isn't like math or science. Music think, you know, makes you think differently. And as someone who came up the ranks in school band programs, I was taught a lot of things, you know, as a musician, as a band student, that I couldn't have learned anywhere else. I mean, I was taught teamwork, and I was taught discipline, I was taught integrity. You know, I was taught to practice hard and to work hard, and, you know, and it paid off, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, the things that you learn, learning music, thinking creatively and, you know, building different blocks to make what you're going to create in a band, whether it's a jazz band or whether it's a marching band or whether it's a symphonic band. You know, it absolutely made me the person that I am in more ways than just being able to play a song. So I definitely support a lot of different organizations for getting music back into the schools and for making existing school programs stronger and better. So, you know, I've been an artist ambassador for Campbell's Labels for Education, which is now giving money to school band programs. Along with the Grammy Foundation, who's just doing, you know, a lot of great things for kids in band programs and different band programs around the country. So I love to see that people are banding together more and, you know, making this a priority, but it's definitely one of my priorities.
All right. Wow. I'm going to let you go. We've had you on longer than we should have, but we really, really appreciate you being on and giving us your time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I just thank everyone who came down to the chat, and thanks for coming on. Thanks for the great questions, and thanks, Pam, for being here. You know, got to represent Mindy World right here.
You bet.
That's
you
right.
Bet.
That's right. I am going to close the show with It's a Man's Man's World.
Wow,
so we can
great.
Hear Miss Layla Hathaway singing on this song. So I am going to close the show with that. Thanks, Pam, for coming on and sharing information about the fan club. I appreciate that. The fan club, give us that website again.
It's www.mindyworld.org.
Okay.
Cool. And remember,
you go
Mindy
there and check
is,
that out.
There's an I in it.
Yes, M-I-N-D-I, yes. All right, great.
Hey,
so,
Pam, real fast, I want to say, Pam, that Bernie Scott from Michigan said hi. So,
oh, I just want to thank you so much.
Yeah,
great.
Definitely.
All right.
And thank you,
all
thank
right.
you for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're so welcome. Thank you for coming on. Thank you very much. You ladies have a great evening. Again, Ms. Hebert, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. This was just a lot of fun.
Thank
yes,
you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you on the road.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you out there.
All righty.
Okay, have a great night.
All right. Cool. Bye.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Well, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay,
bye,
Pam.
Bye.
All right, Miss Mindy Hebert. The name of her CD is In Hi-Fi Stereo. You can pick that up on her website, mindyhebert.com, Amazon, and iTunes as well. So we have 9 minutes left. This song is 6 minutes long, so I'm going to go ahead and start that and let you know that this coming weekend we will be talking to guitarist Tom Hemby on Saturday and saxophonist Tony Nguyen on Sunday. All right, Mike, great show.
Yes.
Thanks
yes,
to everyone
that.
In the chat room, Andrew Harris, Anita Ross, C.D. McGee, Cheryl B., all of the guests, India 73, Kim's Wims, Lori, Quiet Storm, Spoken Word, Spicy Number One, Quick Track, Bernie, Boni Fancaro, Flower Girl,
Lita.
I mean, just... The chat room was full. Thank you all so much for coming in and tuning in and hanging out with us. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, let's get with the song here. So we're going to close the show. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And our guest, fan co-host, Pam McGregor. And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week. This is It's a Man's Man's World with Layla Hathaway on vocals.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world, but it wouldn't. Nothing, nothing, not a woman or a girl. You see, the man made the car, take us over the road. This is a man.
not a woman or a girl. And you know that's right.